knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot, I was going to just launch into, finally, Alex Jones has come back to studio.
All right.
And that's a tease because The Rock comes up later on the show.
Oh, The Rock is showing up on the show.
Well, he's
Jesus
not on the
Christ.
Show. He's not on the show.
Oh, okay.
He's mentioned on the show.
There's
a week and a half of maybe 2 weeks of Alex being on vacation is kind of, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be, covering his show, and it's just little piecemeal things here and there. And it's a relief on it. Like, that sucks.
Don't analyze it too much. Don't deal with that too much. We are where we are. Focus and move forward.
I would obviously prefer his show not exist. It would be a much better world.
Right.
But in the position that I'm in, it's nice for him to actually be sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
He's a one-talent business. They've testified to that in court.
Yep.
And when you have a business and a show and it's a one-talent business and that talent is gone,
yeah,
it's a drag.
Yeah.
And so Alex is back in studio, so we actually have that to go over on April 12th, his show from Friday.
All right. I'm excited.
Shitty bright spot. What about you?
No, there's a certain amount of, and I say this because I respect you, you're an honorable man. All right, if Alex were to be gone but InfoWars were to remain, what are we going to do? Beat up on Owen Schroyer? That's unfair. It's an unfair fight.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Right?
I don't know if it's honor.
It's the boredom is also valuable.
That's
too.
A big piece of the puzzle.
A big piece of the puzzle. But for the sake of fun, let's call the fact that you can only enjoy the fair fight honor.
I guess. So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot. We talked a little bit about it before, but the show Fallout. Really good. Really good show. They get what people like about the games, and then they didn't do that thing where they're like, let's just only make people watch a bad version of the game.
What is it that people like about the games?
There's a good sense of humor.
Sure.
You know, there's that...
like mascot character.
Sure, sure. There's just the kind of sardonic, tongue-in-cheek viewpoint on the uselessness and hopelessness of humanity's survival.
Sure.
You know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
That's always nice.
Yeah. People enjoy that.
Yep. Then you can, adjust your attributes.
Monster bugs.
Monster bug, yeah. Cockroaches, they're big.
Uh-huh.
Well,
people like that, right?
They make noises. Yep. Shoot stuff.
Yep.
Pew, 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 pew.
Depressing vistas of the future.
Definitely. The armor, basically.
That's what I was thinking about, too. It's one of the only things that I can remember from the time that I played the game a long time ago.
It's just the most iconic armor you can have, really.
Sure.
For that, yeah, I mean, it's perfect.
It's a very strange thing. There's a real disconnect that I have, that I had no idea they were making a show.
Sure.
And I've only seen passing mention of some outrage about the show, and then some people saying it's great.
Right.
I think is how almost all media comes to me now.
Yeah. The right wing is angry
happening
about it. And then people are like, I like it.
Yeah.
Because if people didn't like it, the right wing wouldn't be angry about it and you wouldn't hear about it.
Yeah. It's not an ideal way to experience the world, but here we are.
It's a strange window from which to view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're enjoying the show, though. That's good. That's great.
Yeah,
what is it, one episode out?
No, the whole series. Oh. Or the whole season. It's good. Probably going to get a second season.
All right.
That's nice.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Fallout 2 season.
That'd be Fallout.
Too fast.
Furious.
Yeah. So, Jordan, today, like I said, we have an episode to go over. We're going to be talking about April 12th.
All right.
This is exciting because Alex is back in studio.
Sure.
Finally.
Yep.
FBI CIA undercover video has dropped, and of course
everything's gone. We've finally taken them down. We're suing them. We've got
some developments on that front.
Okay, all right, good news.
So we'll discuss all that. But first, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Sir Frolics of Babytown, USA. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Matt Z. Parentheses. That's a Z as in czar. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And 712-712-712-1 swamp that won't be drained. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a couple technocrats, Jordan. So ooh, thank you so much to Mouse Man and his two pugs, Birdie and Gene. And happy 10-year anniversary, Cassie. I love you. Here's to many more from Andy. Possibly in Kansas?
Could be.
It doesn't say. Who knows? Thank you so much. You are two new technocrats.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much. And just to remember, if you haven't heard your policy wonk shout out, just send an email to knowledgefight@gmail.com. If you just want one, send it. What am I going to check?
Yeah.
No, I, as much as I love people who feel like they need to send proof, I love you for that. Don't. I don't care.
No.
Nope.
So we start the show off, and Alex is minimizing his own difficulties.
Yes.
In favor of... You know, we're going to talk about the big picture.
Sure.
The world.
The world.
Well, we've survived deep state attacks by the FBI, the CIA, in coordination with the rest of the deep state corporate media PR firms and Democratic Party law firms. And it's all coming out in congressional hearings in the last few days, and more hearings set specifically focusing on the revelations against InfoWars. And you would think that would be our top story today. We have some big guests joining us to discuss that and so much more. But we're going to table that for now, because the big news is Iran has been working very closely with the Democratic Party for a long time. But even before that, it's been partially declassified that in the early 1980s, in 1979, 1980, 81, Iran doesn't work for the CIA, but the CIA clearly helped the Ayatollahs take control and take power over the Shah. And so there's been a lot of cases where there's backroom deals made where Iran will attack at a key point for the deep state for political gain, and then the deep state will not launch massive retaliatory strikes against Iran, and that gives Iran a lot of political power domestically. And so with all the things happening to Biden and the globalist operations falling apart, they need a big political distraction. They need an October surprise. And here we are. The CIA, the Defense Department, are saying they believe in the next 48 hours... Iran is going to attack Israel directly with its massive arsenal of missiles and other weapons. Iran is armed to the teeth.
So as of the time I'm preparing this article, nothing has come out regarding that undercover video of the purported CIA guy. So as far as I'm concerned, the assertion that the attack on Alex and InfoWars is all admitted to be deep state stuff is fully unsubstantiated.
Yeah, all right.
It's pretty magnanimous of him to put his own trouble to the side to talk about the bigger geopolitical picture. However, I should tell you that almost this entire show is about how Alex has been wronged.
That makes sense.
He interviews Bobby Barnes and Viva Fry separately, even though they're podcast co-hosts, about how he should sue the government and what have you. Then he interviews two different people associated with the group that captured that undercover video. The fourth hour is just a special report that Alex threw together to try to capitalize on this undercover video, trying to nail down the narrative about his legal trouble. The bulk of the show is centered around himself, not his bizarre theories about Iran and Israel.
Fair.
Alex's point that the CIA has meddled in Iran's government is fair enough.
Totally.
Even they admit that they were involved in the 1953 coup, but that doesn't mean that they're pulling the strings now, 71 years later. That's just kind of silly.
Yeah, we're at least four coups since then.
Yeah. A small point. The CIA was involved in overthrowing Mohammad Mossadegh, the prime minister of Iran, in 1953. Alex says that they helped the Ayatollahs overthrow the Shah, but the U.S. government was firmly behind the Shah. Mm-hmm. In 1979, the Shah was overthrown, which led to the Islamic Republic of Iran forming, but it's going to be a bit harder for Alex to prove that the CIA was involved in that one.
Yeah.
If he's just trying to abstractly say that the meddling in the 1953 coup had ripple effects that inadvertently led to the 1979 revolution,
totally.
Then that's probably fair enough.
Totally.
But I think he's making a bit of a stronger claim here that I don't think he can back up.
Yeah.
When Alex says that Iran's been working with the Democratic Party, that's just about how Obama made the Iran nuclear deal,
right.
which Trump then pulled out of and Biden recommitted to. That deal was originally made in 2015. But interestingly, if you go back through Alex's career, he used to be super opposed to sanctions against Iran because he was a Ron Paul guy.
Yeah.
Sanctions
were
world government shit and all that back then.
Sanctions are evil, yeah.
So it should be at least said that on this occasion, at least what Alex is saying is connected to the real world. On Saturday, Iran launched, quote, dozens of drones and missiles toward Israel, according to NPR. Iran has said that this was done in response to an airstrike on Iran's embassy in Syria on April 1st. There were good reasons to think that this attack would happen, so when Alex gets on air and says that it's likely, it's a case where he's not just throwing out doom shit for the sake of it, which is often what we see.
Sure.
So at least this is grounded.
Yeah.
And at least as of this point, we're recording on Sunday, it does appear that Iran has said we consider this concluded.
Yeah.
U.S. said that they're not going to join in on any kind of reprisal.
Mm-hmm.
So it may just be a situation where somebody needs to show strength and not lose face.
Right.
It's hard to say, but...
Right. No, I mean, it makes sense. Like, if you understand political... stuff, and then you read history, you're like, oh, this does make sense. But then if you also understand, like, that we're on a rock floating in space, then you might just say that they blew up a bunch of PS5s over a desert.
Mm.
And then we're like, and now that'll teach you a lesson.
Right.
So I don't know what to tell you.
I don't either. And I don't know that this sort of working theory of the deep state did this, got Iran to attack. I don't understand how all of this works, but whatever.
I would say that maybe the one true luxury of a religious theocracy is never having to worry about an October surprise.
Mm.
Like, in any direction, I don't have to be like, oh, there's going to be an October. Nope. Religious theocracy. No need. No need for a surprise.
And in our bizarre world, October surprises happen in April.
Exactly.
It's fun.
I don't need any of that either.
So we have some other news in the world.
Uh-huh.
Big numbers out, how inflation is hurting Biden's progress on the economy, LA Times. You've got all these former top economists who are Democrats coming out saying, oh, inflation's terrible, Biden's terrible, but that's being done to maneuver him to step down sometime before or during the DNC this coming July. Top economists, including Barack Obama's Treasury Secretary, discover the real inflation number under Biden reached 18% and is still hovering around 40-year high, and it's actually much higher than that.
So it's never enough for Alex to just accept something that looks like a win.
Yeah.
It's not enough that Biden's inflation number appears to be 18%. It has to secretly be even higher than that. So what's going on here is that Alex is taking the cumulative inflation number for the years Biden has been in office, which is admittedly high. If you look at more specific month-over-month data, you can see that a lot of this is due to the pandemic and that things are trending in the right direction, but it's still not good. I would dare say that anyone being in office during this time would have a terrible number on this front to deal with. Something that I thought was interesting here, though, is that the headline for the LA Times article is not, quote, how inflation is hurting Biden's progress with the economy. The headline is, quote, why Biden is getting little credit for the economy, especially in California.
Huh.
What Alex reads is, as best I can tell, a tweet that someone posted linking to that LA Times article.
Cool.
So that's fun.
Yeah, that is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is one of those things where it is like, you know, I understand that we have to care about the politicians that we have in office right now. You know, that's really important. But with stuff like inflation, we should all be able to, like, stop and go like, nah, dude, this is that guy from 20 years ago's fault. That's how inflation works. It's a time thing, you know? Like, it's not this guy's fault.
There's a constellation of effects.
Yeah.
It's not something that, like, magically...
No.
We're just going to turn this around.
Totally.
But there are indications of you know, progress trending in the right direction.
Sure.
There's reasons to be somewhat hopeful on that front.
Okay.
But it is a bad, you know, it's a bad stat. No denying that.
Yeah. I wouldn't want it. Low batting average, man. Not good.
So there's some other news.
Okay.
Another big study out. Islands that climate change alarmists have said in the last 40 years would soon disappear due to rising sea levels have been found to have grown in size. We're going to be looking at all of that information.
Amazing. So he doesn't end up looking at this information all that much. So when Alex reads this supposed headline off, they don't flash anything on screen, so I had no idea what he was referencing. What is this study about growing islands?
I'm all about it.
So if you look for the exact wording, he's just reading a tweet posted by Zero Hedge.
Okay.
The Zero Hedge article links to an article published in the International Journal of Digital Earth titled, quote, "Evolutionary Dynamics of Island Shoreline in the Context of Climate Change, Insights from Extensive Empirical Evidence." This is a study about island shorelines, and one of the reasons they end up saying that some islands, like those in Tuvalu, have grown in size is because of human-driven land reclamation efforts in response to climate change.
Cool.
The study says that, quote, "The data results suggest that sea level rise has not been a widespread cause of erosion for island shorelines in the studied region. Presently, it's considered one of the contributing factors to shoreline erosion, but not the predominant one." However, it's critical to understand the context of what they're saying. This is from their conclusion. Quote, "Contrary to initial assumptions, our empirical data does not conclusively link the widespread erosion of island shorelines primarily to historical sea level rise, suggesting that human activities might mask the effects of sea level rise. As they had pointed out earlier, quote, significant human-driven factors influencing the seaward expansion of island shorelines encompasses urban growth, the vigorous development of port economies, and the increase of aquaculture activities." They go on to say, quote, "Based on a thorough analysis of current data and consideration of future sea level rise scenarios, we believe that sea level rise will continue to pose a significant challenge to island communities." So I guess when you just read the tweet, it kind of comes off like a dunk against climate change alarmists. But when you actually look at the underlying actual information, it doesn't really work as well on that front.
Right. Here's what I think of.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that guy who brought a snowball into Congress?
Yeah.
Did we rip that guy into little pieces or what?
I think we did. And there are all these other tweets.
I mean, like, shouldn't that guy have been, like, torn apart in, like, a comical, cartoonish way? Because, like, that can't be, like, this is that, see, these islands are still around. Like, that's not the point, man.
And there are also some that aren't.
That's just an unhelpful way of communicating.
And it's also, like, a very serious distortion of the information that's presented in this study.
Totally.
It's supposed to be the primary source for this.
Totally. Absolutely.
So we got some other news.
Oh, my God. Is there a snowball in Congress again?
There is not.
Okay.
Then, of course, we've got a lot of bizarre statements out of the White House and out of mainstream media concerning the death by cancer of O.J. Simpson. We know from major studies that the so-called COVID vaccine, that's an mRNA gene therapy, has been causing massive increases in cancer, the accelerated growth of turbo cancers. So I simply said, hey, he took the shot and he was dead. He bragged about taking the boosters, told everybody you should take your shots. We know the numbers are there that it is triggering massive increases of cancer. And the corporate media weighed in and said, Jones is making it up, saying O.J. was killed by the shot. I just pointed out that a lot of people are being killed by the shot, and that is a major indicator of it.
So I think early career Alex would be really embarrassed to know that this is the kind of thing he ends up covering on the show. I didn't say O.J. Simpson was killed by turbo cancer he got from the vaccine. I'm just implying it. This show is just like a tweet.
Man.
That's all this show. It's just become a tweet.
I don't even know.
This is the physical embodiment of a tweet.
That is an event that I've been really struggling with on account of
losing OJ.
I mean, that's kind of my problem here. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this because I know how I remember what happened. I was alive for him murdering people.
Sure.
And everybody was like understandably mad about that. And then I was alive for if I did it.
Yeah.
Which I think changed everything.
Right? It was an interesting choice.
Yeah. I'm going to confess to this murder that I got away with.
If.
And then, but then now here we are where people are just writing, oh, the complicated legacy of, like, what? I don't feel like it's that complicated.
I may be not searching far and wide, but I might be missing some of this commentary that you're
really?
Talking about. Yes.
I'm talking like the Guardian places. Like, I'm talking to like regular ass people writing, like, OJ was known for being a really good running back. Like, okay. I mean, sure.
Right.
Sure. I get that.
I guess I'm not seeing as much of the eulogizing, but I'm not saying it's not there. Maybe
no,
it just missed me.
Yeah, it could be.
It seems like my experience of the is been mostly people being like, oh, well.
Yeah.
And then other people being like, the vaccine did it, which seems to be the waters Alex is playing in.
See, this is one I really feel like we could all just agree to just be like, let's just move on.
Oh, well.
You know, like, hey, this is what happened. Moving on.
But this also gives Alex an opportunity to pivot into
OJ
COVID news. There's some new COVID news.
Okay.
Powerful video that we're going to be playing coming up. The great COVID cover-up, shocking truth about Wuhan and 16 federal agencies. And that was Senator Rand Paul on with the Fox News host Laura Ingraham. It's an excellent five-page article from Fox News. And what are they talking about? They're talking about this. The New York Post is finally covering it. 3 years ago, a lot of these emails were already public, but now even more emails are public. Whistleblower shares more COVID origin emails Fauci advisor allegedly concealed on private account House panel. Now, we had emails less than a year into this. This has been going on 4 years plus. Wow, it's hard to believe. We had emails in late 2020, so over 3 years ago, we've covered it ad nauseum, from the EcoHealth Alliance, and a lot of that is because what Dr. Huff, who was the vice president of it, was giving it to Tom Renz and others, and later testified to Congress and others, that they were developing COVID-19 for the CIA and the Defense Department, and they were developing the vaccine before they ever released COVID.
So it happened to Ebola in Denver. I could have sworn we were supposed to see some movement on that front by now, but
yeah.
I guess we haven't, so it's back to COVID.
Back to COVID.
Oh, fine.
Oh, Jesus.
So none of the stuff that Alex is saying there is correct. Tom Renz is a very disreputable source, and Dr. Andrew Huff is not a sincere actor. He wasn't the vice president of EcoHealth Alliance. He worked there from 2014 to 2016, according to them, quote, working on computer-based algorithms to assess emerging disease threats. He's listed in a 2016 report as one of their three associate vice presidents. So it's, you know, it's not a wholesale lie, but it is kind of an exaggeration.
He's around.
It does seem like he was a computer guy, as a 2015 article from the University of Minnesota School of Public Health was celebrating a $4.6 million grant he'd won for EcoHealth Alliance, quote, to continue the development of the Global Rapid Identification Tool System, a software program that is designed to monitor early warning signals. So all of this story is about a letter that Representative Brad Wenstrup sent to the Associate Director of the National Emerging Infectious Disease Laboratory Institute because they found reason to believe that a senior scientific advisor at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases may have used a personal email address to conduct official business.
Bastard.
Well, I mean, it's not good.
Sure.
There's no revelation of stuff that's in any of those emails, only that the representative is requesting them. So we don't have a ton to go off of.
Sure.
But hey, man, you know, if you're using the personal email address and people have requested those records and, you know.
Sure.
It's not to say that there's anything in them that's damning.
I get it.
I don't know.
Hey, you should have done the thing.
That's
the rule.
Also, the Rand Paul thing was about 15 federal agencies. I guess Alex can't help but bump it up to 16. He can't help it.
Come on. Just 15's even a better number.
16.
15, no, 16's not a good
he's
number.
He's a heightening guy.
He's too hyped.
No.
Too hyped.
But that's the thing. You're designed to do that.
15 is the correct number.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think that... you know, we say that Alex...
Which are you? Are you a multiples of three guy or are you a multiples of four guy?
I don't... I think four. But look...
What about the number 12?
Love it. Here's the thing. I think that Alex is... We say that he's a bad improv guy.
Sure.
But he heightens. He has a instinct to heighten. I think maybe he would be a good guy to have on your team.
I ask you this question. What is an instinct and what is a pathology?
I think in the world of improv, it's probably gray. I think it's a gray area.
In the world of improv, you have absolutely nailed it. Are you Del Close Reborn?
Hey. Yes.
Oh, shit.
And
he
we have another clip.
He was a four guy.
Here's another clip.
Okay.
It was premeditated. It was launched against the people. Life expectancy's dropping. Cancer's exploding. We have a 40%+ increase in the overall morbidity rate. World population is now dropping for the first time since the Black Plague. They have now launched this attack. And if it doesn't get exposed fully, if people aren't brought to justice, they've now beta tested launching an even more deadly virus, an even more deadly injection in the future. This is a test to see if they can depopulate.
It's sincerely not fair for Alex to say that COVID was a beta test now. I can't count the number of times that Alex got on air and said that we've left beta testing and the globalists have gone operational. How many times he said that he was, this is the full on, like, this is the actual assault. We're doing it. This was it. It's going down.
Yeah.
But now what? This is all just a test for some future calamity that you're trying to scare people about? That's bullshit. This is not cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you think about all of
his... It was over
his,
for humanity.
Well, I mean, yeah, but if you coincide that with his emotional state and how well he was doing in the trials and so forth, you know...
Sure.
It's over for humanity a lot of the times whenever it's over for his right. bank account,
things
right?
were looking bad.
But the problem is, nothing actually happened and it still isn't actually happening. So how?
Well, a lot of things have happened, just not the type of things that he's saying.
Exactly, but yeah. not even the things that would correlate to something like that in his fictional life. You know, like in real life, if somebody actually took his fucking couch or something,
right?
In fictional life, that would be like they're coming for our home. You know, like that the idea, right?
Sure.
So he hasn't even had the real life version happen yet.
Yeah.
So what's gonna happen then?
If.
Oh, God. If I want somebody, just take his shit.
Just the couch. just the couch.
At least take his couch.
Here's the thing. It's not going to happen. They're sure. not going to take the couch now because sure. Alex is going to sue the CIA and the FBI. And it's going to come out right. that they were behind everything.
Okay.
And he's been trying to get some inroads, trying to figure out if he should do this. And I got the sense,
yeah.
listening to this, that maybe he's trying to talk himself out of it.
Okay.
And so a lot of people want me to sue the FBI and the CIA. And I'm not a litigious person. But we have to bring this out further in the light. We have to document it. And I do want congressional hearings. And they're talking about doing hearings. It's been brought up in the FISA hearings. Five congressmen and women are now talking about it that I know of. We've got some of those clips coming up. So this is a... This is a big deal because if I don't do that, then I'm basically not fighting as hard as I could. That said, the system obviously tries to protect itself. It's very, very corrupt.
Yeah.
There are some big law firms that are successfully going after the deep state, and that's who I'm in the process of talking to or have talked to. And then they say we've got very, very serious cases against these folks. But that is definitely something that we're looking into. And doing, but regardless, in the court of public opinion, that's where the enemy's losing.
Yeah, and that's where I'm gonna mostly do my shit.
Yeah,
talking shit.
Yeah, the court of public opinion.
I think that this is actually exactly what Alex needs to be doing, like,
yeah.
in terms of framing this, because there has to be like an ambivalence. You know, I don't want to do this.
Sure.
You have to be the sort of begrudging person fighting the Goliath.
Oh, I would love to retire back to my palatial vista, but the people,
right.
I must represent them in the battle.
There has to be a sense of like, I don't even want to do this.
Yeah.
And then that also is really helpful because you have to set up like an expectation that you're not going to win.
No.
Because this isn't going to...
Well, you're going up against the CIA, the
right.
FBI. Of course you're not going to win.
Right. So there has to be some sort of doomed, quixotic
noble
element to this.
Noble, but failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has to recruit all kinds of, possible
He's getting his crew together. He's
right.
getting his crew together. This is our Ocean's 11 moment.
Well, later, he does interview Barnes, and he's like, hey, Barnes, I've been meaning to talk to you about this lawsuit. Can I call you later today? So he hasn't even talked to Barnes yet.
Oh, boy. That's not good.
But he has... been trying to enlist the Texas Attorney General.
Okay.
I have been playing phone tag with Paxton, and there's a lot of other things I need to get to. But I can tell you this. People have seen the attacks on Trump. They've seen the weaponization. They've seen the juryless trials. They've seen them taking him off the ballot and all this other illegal crap. That's open election theft in front of you, attempted election theft. And the sleeping giant's awake.
So I think that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton probably isn't going to be able to help Alex too much. He's about to stand trial for securities fraud, something that he was indicted over in 2015 and in which a judge recently denied his motion to throw out. He could go to prison, honestly. Mm. Also, he was impeached in the Texas House last year in a 121-23 bipartisan vote.
Yep.
He was acquitted in the state Senate, but he was suspended from his duties between May and September because of the impeachment, which was over 20 articles ranging from dereliction of duty to abuse of public trust. Mm-hmm. And according to the Texas Tribune, the securities fraud trial starts today. On Monday.
Right.
This episode comes out. So he's busy.
See, here's the thing that I like about this. Because I think this is the right move. Because Paxton is within Alex's budget. And Paxton is very purchasable. If you've read one third of the things that he has done, he is very much purchasable.
And based on sort of like vibes and shit, yeah. It seems like he would be someone who would be on Alex's team.
He might even give Alex a discount. That kind of level of like ideologically aligned, and also would like some money to help produce. Yeah. He's there.
It's unfortunately plausible that they've been playing phone tag.
Yeah.
But also he seems busy.
Well,
with his own,
let's hope,
difficulties.
Yeah.
So Alex went on vacation, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone fucking loved him. They loved him so
in
much.
Hawaii.
Yes. And Alex spends maybe 10 minutes talking about this. Maybe more, honestly. It is interminable.
God.
I get on the airplane to fly from Hawaii back to Austin, Texas. And I get on, I'm shaking the hands of the stewardesses, male, female, their listeners. I sit down, this old man and his wife are listeners, the older gentleman behind me with his wife are listeners. And when I get off the airplane, I had multiple people come over and say, it was so good to see what you talk about on air just happened. It was incredible. He said, I just saw you on Steve Bannon 2 days ago talking about this phenomenon, and I just watched it. Now, folks, what does that say about the New World Order? And I keep harping on this because it's a blind spot for you because you're not famous, which is a great thing. Again, anonymity's wonderful. It's a curse in many ways to be famous, but you also get to learn things other people don't. I'm a symbol of the resistance. I'm a symbol of fighting the deep state, the New World Order. And it was the customs guys that scan your stuff to make sure you don't have any produce because you could have fruit flies or whatever. My wife got caught with an apple in her backpack. She forgot. All four of the guys go, Alex, come on over here. Your wife's got an apple. Is she okay? Yeah, no, you can't carry it. Hey, we love you. MAGA all the way. That's flying out of Kauai. Go through the TSA. Hey, man, we're a lister. We know it's BS. The border is wide open. On and on and on. Go through, go buy some breakfast tacos. Everybody in the restaurant's a listener. I mean, everybody. Had a bartender in there at 10 a.m. in the morning trying to give us drinks. I'm like, no. Got a bar in there too. It's huge. And I had one woman come up to me. I'm sitting there on the beach 3 days ago. She goes, are you Alex Jones? And she's looking at me, middle-aged white woman. And I said, yes. My daughter was out boogie boarding like 50 yards from me with my wife. They were out on those. And she said, I effing hate you and hate your family, and I hope you die. And I said, let me get my phone and get some video of this. And she goes, F you. I can't believe what you did to those children. And I said, what did I do? And she goes, you pissed on their graves. And I looked at her and felt sorry for her. And she stomped off. And I thought about, imagine being that mind controlled.
It's amazing. quite a trip, he's describing. This is exhausting, this stretch of the show, but it does add two interesting new wrinkles to Alex's folklore about everyone loving him everywhere he goes. The first is that character in the story who vouches for how real the story is.
Yes.
And I really like that.
It's very important to do that.
The guy who's like, I can't believe I saw this phenomenon in real life.
Yeah. I love it. That's always nice.
The second is the very definitely real woman on the beach who attacks Alex with the straw mans that he's created about the accusations against him.
The exact ones that he uses.
Yeah.
All the time.
That's so weird.
It's really nice of her to fit within that kind of pre-established storyline. Yeah.
No one has said that Alex peed on anyone's grave. Alex just pretends that's what people say, because otherwise he'd have to wrestle with the fact that Mark and Jackie Barden received threatening letters from people who believed that they were crisis actors, including someone saying that they had urinated on their child's grave. It's much easier to pretend that everyone is just saying that Alex himself did it, because then he could be like, I can't believe they're making this up about me.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And if you want to attribute that to me, I've said far worse.
Definitely. But you're not an old white woman in Hawaii.
No,
middle-aged white woman in Hawaii on the beach.
That is true.
So, it's just, this goes on for a long time, and there's more stretches of the show that is dedicated to him talking about how much everyone loves him, and it is exhausting. But it's not about him.
Okay.
It's not about him. It's a symbol. He's a symbol.
How about this? Let me ask you this question, all right? Now, he can't do it, and these people can't do it, because they can't trust, right? But if you're Alex, you're staring down the barrel of being bankrupt and broke for the rest of your life, hopefully, from my point of view, not his. Why not take, you've got plenty of money. Why not take like $20 million? $20 million, cash it up, take it to Hawaii with you, and just start giving it around, right?
Mm.
And then all your money is gone. Fine. They've got all your actual money, but you can go to Hawaii, and people there know that you're the one who gave them like $20 million in the community. So you just go, you get free drinks, you do the thing. You know what I'm saying? You live on the largesse of others because you have given it to them first.
Sure. That's a strategy. I think it would not work.
Trusting either.
I thought that you were going to say, like, the strategy should be take $20 million or a much smaller amount of money and invest in a camera to follow you around to illustrate all of these people who love you so much.
Oh, okay. Well, that would help.
And I think it would be even simpler because he always has, like, his security with him. I'm sure there were security guards on that beach.
I bet
they could have a body cam on them.
Do you think they... How many of them do you think have, like, camera phone video of Alex doing something that's totally illegal?
I don't want to speculate, but I would imagine.
Yeah.
There are some.
Yeah.
So, look, this attack on Alex, it's meant for you.
For me?
It's that whole, like, they're just trying to get through me to get to you thing.
Of course.
Their attack on me is a mirror of the attack on you. They want to break our families up. They want single mothers isolated, controlled by the government. They want all the women working so they can't raise the children. Everything they do is about making you poor and in debt to hurt you. And if we build an ecosystem and an economy of the people, and people are allowed to listen to what they want to listen to, we'll be a nation that's prosperous and free and safe and secure again. Look at Bukele and El Salvador, most dangerous country in the world. He takes over 3 years ago, and within 1 year, it becomes the safest country in the Western Hemisphere, the second safest in the world. Investment pouring in, government surpluses. They have like one murder a month now. They used to have hundreds a day. Real leadership. Snap the fingers. It's over.
So it is definitely true that since Nayib Bukele's election, the murder rate in El Salvador has dropped dramatically. From 38 per 100,000 people in 2019 to 7.8 in 2022. That's an impressive feat. However, Alex should really, really have a problem with how he's achieved it. Bukele launched a push against organized crime after 92 people were killed between March 24th and March 27th, 2022. He put in a state of emergency that was supposed to last 30 days, but is actually still in place now, over 2 years later.
Sure.
According to Human Rights Watch, this emergency involved, quote, suspending a range of constitutional rights, including the rights of freedom of association and assembly, to privacy in communications, and to be informed of the reason for arrest. According to the New York Times, quote, Mr. Bukele now controls all government branches.
Aye.
The nation of 6.4 million is run as a police state.
That's
soldiers
right.
and police officers routinely whisk citizens off the street and into prison indefinitely
Great.
Without providing a reason or allowing them access to a lawyer. There are credible reports that inmates have been tortured. Since March 2022, when Mr. Bukele declared a state of emergency that suspended basic civil liberties, security forces have locked up roughly 75,000 people. A staggering 1 in 45 adults is now in prison. Bukele has been able to very seriously attack El Salvador's organized crime problem, largely for two reasons. The first is that he's essentially suspended any civil rights in order to bring in a police state, the very thing that Alex has theoretically based his life on fighting.
Right.
The second is that El Salvador's gangs were a problem that he could fight. From the Times, quote, for decades, a handful of gangs fought one another for control of territory and became socially and politically powerful. But unlike cartels in Mexico, Colombia, and Brazil, El Salvador's gangs weren't big players in the global drug trade and focused more on extortion. Compared to those other groups, they were poorly financed and not as heavily armed. Bukele was able to get rid of this crime problem at the expense of liberty and is literally the exact kind of leader who Alex has pretended to be opposed to for his entire career. He tweeted in opposition to Trump being arrested, though, so he's become the newest darling of the right wing in America who are able to look past these fundamental problems they should have with him because they weren't serious about those principles to begin with.
No.
Alex has talked a little bit in the past about being excited about Bukele, and
that's not good.
No, but it's on trend with him. It's on par with, you know, the trend towards kindness and support towards sort of authoritarian leaders.
You know, I find that fascinating because it does suggest something, which is that if somebody tried to go after like one of the good cartels, you know, then other countries would fight on their behalf. You know what I mean? Like, you can't fuck with a good cartel because the United States will actually be like, no. We need them to facilitate. They're global organizations now. They're almost
legitimate
businesses.
Well, but that's not to say that state actors would come to the defense of those.
No. Not like, you know, but that they are part of a functioning order now that is the status quo.
I think,
which is fascinating.
It is fascinating. It's not a good status quo.
I'm not saying it's a good status quo when people chop the heads off of all the time.
Right.
That's bad. What I find fascinating is that it is happening.
It makes it a much more difficult issue to deal with. And maybe one that would not necessarily be fully dealt with.
You can't do it this way.
These crackdowns on civil liberties, which is worrying because there are some indications that this model is something that other countries would want to replicate.
Sure.
And it may not be effective.
Yeah, no, I mean, because the reality is nobody's problems are local anymore. Everything is interconnected.
Except for the ones that are local.
Well, I mean,
in the case of like extortion rackets.
Sure,
and stuff,
sure. Well,
know.
Exactly. If it is a local problem. But I mean, like, you can't, if you're in Colombia, you're like, oh, we want to tackle this. Well, that's just going to push it into this place because Colombia is also, you know.
And then the international aspect of the cartel will fill it back in.
Totally.
It'll backfill once you have done whatever you're doing to try and crack down on
totally.
It.
Totally. Yep.
So Alex has Roger Stone on the show. And they talks a little bit about some of that persecution. And then Roger talks about a little celebration that they had.
Interesting.
And then we'll spend some time on your persecution and mine, not because we're whining, but because it's a window into their strategy and stratagem and calculus against us in this bombshell development. Now brought up in FISA hearings. Now they're calling five members of Congress already that I know of calling for hearings on this FBI CIA agent. A bunch of publications said he wasn't real. They had to admit it, retract it. Raw Story hasn't. No, the guy's real. It's on record. The CIA admits he works there as a contract manager. I mean, this is really amazing, and I'm confirmed major shoes are about to drop, not on Alex Jones, some on me, but on other people, and I'm not at liberty to tell anybody yet, who've had similar operations, but this isn't in a clandestine video being shot of one of these operatives. These are whistleblowers now approaching Congress that have already tried to approach other groups that are about to expose operations run against medical doctors that expose the COVID shots, political patriots, populist, and others. So including targeting members of Congress, with the deep state. So this is really already exploded, and it's coming to the surface in a big way. Roger Stone.
Alex, where do we go here?
We're right here, Roger. Did you have a glitch or something?
Oh, sorry. I was confused because we went to the video. Alex, I was up at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach night before last. There was a small reception to celebrate the fact that Truth Social, President's great social media platform, which I truly love, was going public. That was a long haul. A lot of people worked very hard, a lot of brilliant young tech types. It was a great event. I had a nice chat with the actor, John Voight.
Sounds fun. So Alex is making up that stuff about the CIA confirming the guy from the
undercover
video.
I mean, yeah,
there's been
like,
no news on that.
That
front.
Sounds like the first time the CIA has ever done anything like that ever.
Yeah, the CIA is like, got us.
Actually, you know what, guys? First time ever. Why not? We're gonna try something different.
Right.
We did it.
Yeah.
Ah.
So also, I hope that was a really awesome party to launch Trump Media there. So exciting how that stock was super overvalued and then immediately crashed like 50%. Trump's stake in the company dropped $4 billion in a matter of days.
I mean, none of it's real.
No.
None of it was ever real.
But it is real for anyone who bought the stock
at
these heights and then has now lost a bunch of money.
Right, but I mean, that's the scam that they, it was never supposed to be that high. The rich people, watch it go up high and then they go, okay, fuck you, and then they sell all their stuff. And
which
then
is
they
why
keep
I hope they had a great party.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like...
that's what they're celebrating.
It has nothing to do with him.
Right.
He doesn't get the money.
Right, right.
He doesn't get the money.
He can't cash out those things or, borrow against it for a certain amount of time.
No, what we should all be weirdly laughing at is that it's a scam being perpetrated through Trump Trump can't participate
When I say that his stake in the company dropped $4 billion, saying that as, that. I'm just using that to illustrate the, precipitous... fall of
sure,
this thing.
Sure, sure, sure.
So anyway, Roger is mostly on to do some deflection and stuff about Trump's case, which actually goes to court this Monday as well.
No, everything's going great. Didn't do any hush money. What are you talking about?
No, certainly not.
What are you talking about?
And you know about that judge? He has a daughter.
CIA.
Who's also CIA.
Oh, yeah.
The judge, as you know, has got multiple conflicts. First of all, the judge in question gave a campaign contribution to Joe Biden's presidential campaign. He should recuse himself for that violation of the violation of the canon of ethics for judges. We also now know that his daughter, who's an adult, is a Democrat political operative, a fundraiser, who's raised $93 million on this case. Using this case as the hook for her fundraising for various Democratic candidates. That's an egregious conflict of interest. Also would be grounds for appeal. And we still can't identify an underlying crime. Even if Trump did do the things that he's accused of, and I'm not sure that he did. I don't believe he did. We saw the letter he released from Stormy Daniels in which she flatly denies being paid for her silence because she had an affair with Donald Trump. She says flatly that never happened. So you've got two liars here as the major witnesses for the government. You've got Fat Alvin Bragg. The feds wouldn't bring this case. The career prosecutors in his own office didn't want to bring this case. It's an extraordinarily weak case, but they're so desperate. They don't care if they get reversed, you see, because the appeals process takes months, maybe a year. They're desperate to have some conviction, any conviction in any court, Alex, because then, you see, if there are election irregularities, if there's election fraud, they can then justify their win by saying, oh, well, it was the trials. It was these convictions that dragged Trump down. That is very much the strategy.
I predict, even if they get kangaroo convictions, it's only going to backfire further. No one is buying this, Roger. The sleeping giant is now awake.
So Justice Juan Marchan consulted a judicial ethics committee about his small donations to Democrat politicians as well as his daughter's career, and they determined that these things wouldn't be a threat to his impartiality and that he didn't have to recuse himself.
Sure.
So all of this stuff is not the big issue that Roger's making it out to be.
Sure.
Trump has continued to attack the judge as well as his daughter and has been given a gag order, which he seems to just be ignoring. Trump did release a picture of a letter from Stormy Daniels denying that they had an affair, but she's since come out and said that she wrote that letter because she was made to feel like she had to because of an NDA. And Roger's not even bringing up that there's a second woman that Trump is accused of paying hush money to.
Nah.
Roger's got a good spin here, though, I think. Uh-huh. And that is that this case is just to give a plausible explanation for how Trump could have possibly lost.
Sure.
So the globalists can steal the election more smoothly. This is a thinking man's narrative.
It is the right narrative because they've seen because all the polls that are like, if Trump gets convicted, then we'll say no, which is hilarious.
Right.
You lying fucks. I can't believe people would even believe that shit. But
sure.
Fine.
So, I mean, it's a fine spin.
If they prove he committed a crime, I'll finally change my mind about this man who I watched commit crimes over and over and over again before my eyes.
Probably.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Now, somebody who couldn't do any better than that person who has committed some crimes.
Oh, yeah?
Is Ron DeSantis. Or as we know him, Ron DeSanctimonious.
Oof. Oh, man.
He, unfortunately, has not endorsed Trump enough, according to Roger.
What?
There is a feeling of a demand of, like,
fealty? Like,
yeah.
Legitimate kiss the ring shit?
Sort
great,
of.
Great, great. Good call.
And then we get into The Rock.
Great.
DeSantis had a donor retreat this past weekend in Miami, which makes no sense to me because he can't run for re-election in 2026. We don't have another presidential election until 2028. I've seen stories that he says he's going to raise money for Donald Trump. I hope that that's right. But I'd like him to start by endorsing Trump. He's still nowhere, as he said, I am voting for and I urge you to vote for Donald Trump. It's not what he said in his withdrawal. In his withdrawal, he said, well, most Republicans have decided they want Trump again. That was kind of a grudging admission, but that's not exactly a full-throated endorsement.
Well, yeah, that's like The Rock or Dwayne Johnson saying, I'm not voting for Biden this time.
Look, The Rock, I got a quick Rock story.
Hell yeah.
Years ago, I worked out in the gym and I met a guy who worked out there regularly, and he was a stunt double for The Rock. He was a really nice guy, was a conservative. We got to be a little friendly, and he told me that The Rock had aspirations to run for political office. He knew my background. I said, oh, that's very interesting. He said, would you like to talk to him? I said, sure, I'd be loved to talk to him. I'd like to meet the guy. So this guy went to The Rock and he said, you know, Roger Stone works out at my gym. We become friendly. He's got a lot of political experience. I know you've got some political aspirations. Do you want to meet him? The Rock fired this guy on the spot, fired him like that. So The Rock is not a conservative.
Whoa.
That is not how I thought that story was going to end.
Do not get me Roger Stone.
I am fascinated by that.
Hey, I work out at it doesn't matter who you work out at a gym with.
Do you know here's what's funny about that.
Yeah.
That is far more likely the reason that he was fired. Not because he brought Roger Stone, is because it is not your place to tell me about Roger Stone.
Well, there's two things that I think about here. The first is that when Roger said The Rock had political aspirations, I audibly, as I was listening to the episode, to myself said, no shit.
Yeah.
I think anyone is probably, I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, he gave a speech at the 2000 RNC convention.
Yeah.
He's a guy who has some
ridiculous
design.
Ridiculous.
But the second thing I thought of is, like, he also has gone through a gigantic physical transformation since he's been in movies.
True.
He maybe needs a different stunt double. I could see a situation where firing or getting a new stunt double doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily because Stone's name was evoked.
Unfortunately, you only weigh 280 pounds, and I need you to weigh at least 678 because I am going to be even bigger tomorrow.
There's a potential for that. I also don't think it's impossible that maybe he was fired because he brought up Roger Stone. If you're somebody who has, like, mainstream Republican aspirations, you would know who Roger Stone is.
It's because if he does, he would know Roger Stone specifically.
And you are becoming friends with him.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm cutting you out of my orbit. I could see that possibly being true.
I mean, it would almost... See, here's the thing. It would require me to believe that The Rock is that politically calculating that quickly.
He might be.
To be able, well, which is possible.
Immediately.
But I don't.
Immediately is a vague term here.
That's an issue.
Because I'm certain it wasn't just a know
you
your role,
Roger,
shut your
get
mouth.
Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Yeah.
But immediately could be like a couple days later or
it
something.
It could be something like that. It could be like, oh, I looked into this Roger Stone cat and I'm going
to
let you go.
I talked to my advisors.
Yeah.
So OJ comes up. God, Roger takes a shot.
Yeah, you got him.
You know, I also have to say, with the passing of OJ Simpson, you know, when I was under trial, OJ talked a lot of crap about me. But now that he has gone on to his maker, I pray for him, pray for the people that I believe he killed.
Well, you know, old OJ, I've got the articles right here, headline overshot, please. I got mine. OJ Simpson boasts about getting COVID-19 vaccine. He said he got three boosters. We know it triggers turbo cancer. We don't know for sure that this is what killed him, but he's gone now. So there you go. So the law never got OJ, but his subservience to the system sure as hell did.
There it is.
Roger, in closing.
There it is.
Yeah. I like that response. Long pause. There it is. Kind of, he seems underwhelmed. Maybe just doesn't fully want to be associated with the COVID vaccine killed O.J. Simpson with turbo cancer narrative.
Okay.
Maybe Roger understands that that's something for the people on Twitter to be doing, not the purveyor. This is something that Alex should keep his hands clean on.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you this. The more we live in the world we live in, the more I am becoming convinced that the most important Bible story is the Tower of Babel.
Mm.
Because I think that, you know, if there was a God and he hears a bunch of people coming to him with shit like, hey, OJ is a good guy or a bad guy because of the COVID vaccine, he'd be like, you know what? We got to stop this shit. Everybody go to your own corners for a while.
So Twitter is the tower?
Yeah, we can't have this. Everybody go to your own corners. None of you can talk to each other until we figure this shit out. Because we're arguing about whether or not OJ died of COVID. I don't care.
I'm not arguing about that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Alex is just talking a bunch of shit.
OJ and Alex and Roger Stone all deserve each other. That's what God says.
Well, yeah. There it is. Roger, I think, was trying to stay out of that.
Yeah, I believe it.
So Roger has some ideas about the Democratic ticket for 2024.
Does he have some advice?
No. But theories,
okay.
What's going to happen with Biden? You've been saying for 2+ years they'll remove him on or before the inauguration or on or before the Democratic convention. They're now openly, as you know, saying that all over corporate news, all over dinosaur media. What do you expect to happen? He's deteriorating even faster than he was previously.
Well, let's be very clear. I never believed that he would resign as president. I did believe that they would pull him from the election, that he would announce after accumulating enough delegates to be nominated, he will ultimately, I think, be pressured into announcing that he's not running again. That will allow him to remain as president so that after the election, he can pardon himself and his brother and his son and other members of the Biden crime family.
And become a duke.
So I was glad to see Joe Rogan has finally come around to my point of view on this. I've been saying it for about 2 years. So what would happen technically is I never said that Michelle Obama would run. That's not what I've said. What I've said is she will be the candidate, meaning I believe that if he releases these delegates and the convention is allowed to work its will and draft the candidate that is most popular, that I think she would ultimately be imposed upon to run.
You've always said it'll be a draft. They'll make her do it.
Yes, exactly. And I stand by that prediction even today.
So that's the prediction. Roger's sticking to his guns.
I think what amazes me most about this is that Michelle Obama is currently one of the richest and most powerful people on the planet and would only lose wealth and money and power by becoming president.
But so did Trump.
No.
Well, that was the story.
Yeah, but this is a very opposite story.
True.
Trump didn't have that Netflix money, buddy.
I feel like I've seen indications of not interest this on her part.
Absolutely not.
But it's what they are so interested, the storyline being.
It would make things so much easier for them.
For the right wing and Roger and those types.
If you're a writer on the right wing, you're lazy, which is what makes you a writer on the right wing. So this is the way to go. Yeah.
Yeah, fun, exciting story. But you know, you said like he becomes a Duke, and that's exactly what this feels like.
Yeah.
This is Larry Nichols in 2015 giving a story about some sort of magical deus ex machina where Obama's going to run again and turn the United States into a Muslim caliphate and all this stuff. It's we've been here before.
Like, here's what confuses me about them. Because they are so obsessed with like that idea of this is a democracy and a republic and all that stuff. But like the overarching idea behind those things is that the people in the government are just representatives of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like killed the government, the people would just replace them with the representatives. Because again, the government exists as part of the people, not as like rulers over the people. Mm-hmm. But for them, they exist in this space where like, oh, if they take out the president, then they become king. And you're like, don't you understand why we have the whole thing? The whole idea.
Well, maybe that's an indication of their desire to create a king.
I mean, right?
It seems to... They like Bukele's stuff in El Salvador.
Okay. They got rid of... Oh, man. They got rid of a representative. That's awful. You shouldn't do that. But we've got a bunch of them. And then if they get rid of one, we'll just vote for another. Like, that's the idea.
Mm.
We're like a bunch of ants. You can't take us out. We'll just keep coming. We'll just keep coming. Oh, you kill our president? No matter. We got another one. Keep on going, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we've got Roger certain that Michelle Obama is going to become the president through this drafting.
Sure.
And Alex is like, our storyline is that Gavin Newsom is also in the mix.
Oh, my God.
So how are we going to work this out,
that's
Roger?
A good question.
So where is American Psycho 2.0 Gavin Newsom in this?
Well, ideally, of course, if you they have to figure out how to solve their Kamala Harris problem because it would normally be her turn.
Like
Joe Biden decided for reasons of health that he wasn't running again. Normally the sitting vice president would move in to be the nominee, but they know that's a disaster as well. So I figure they promise her a Supreme Court justice's seat if she sits down. If they were successful and held control of the Senate, they could certainly get her confirmed. She's a former U.S. senator as well.
Sure.
That would allow them to take a ticket of Michelle Obama for president, and then sell Gavin Newsom the vice presidential nomination. He would have to go out, of course, and raise hundreds of millions of dollars from special interests. But as the governor of California, as also one of the wealthiest men in the country, he's perfectly capable of that. So don't be shocked if there's a last minute reshuffle of the Democratic ticket just before their convention.
Well, you heard it here first. Roger, how do people find your show and find your work?
Lazy writing. And you didn't hear it here at first. He's been saying this on the show for
a long time. I don't even know what to tell you.
Heard it here a bunch of times. So anyway, Roger comes and goes.
If the whole Democratic Party's demons, or aligned with demons,
mm-hmm.
or working directly with the devil,
right?
What does it matter which one is the vice president?
I think that, sure. You know what I think? I think it's just fancy.
Fair enough.
I think they're just trying to get points.
Yeah.
For like making predictions.
Absolutely. Yes.
This is just for
show. It's Oscar nominations.
This is like obviously whoever is president and vice president, they're all demons
they're
and whatever.
Be demons. It doesn't matter.
This is just to be like, I told you so later.
Yes.
And then if the prediction doesn't come true, there's really no cost to it.
No.
It's not like people are like gonna be like, hey Roger, we'll never listen to you again.
Yeah,
you're not welcome
Michelle
on the show. anymore. There's no downside to making a big swing like this.
Yeah.
And then on the off chance something happens, you get to be Nostradamus.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think it really is like Rush turned everything into sports talk radio. Like that was his real Rush Limbaugh.
Oh yes.
Like that was the power. Like it turned everything into sports talk radio where it's like, let's just shout about this for a couple hours and then we'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. And it sucks.
Yep.
So
it sucks.
You may recall.
Yeah.
You might not recall.
I probably don't.
Yeah, probably not. We talked about it on the last episode.
That's
but
a long time ago
was
for me.
Not that big a deal. Well, maybe it is kind of. Okay. Who knows? Anyway, Justin Trudeau brought up Alex Jones.
Yes, I do recall that.
Okay. this has been the top story in Canada for 5 days.
That sounds right.
They have made it a huge national issue. It's been like the top story for 5-6 days. I mean, literally in Canada. It has trended 4 or 5 times that I saw on X that, oh my God, Alex Jones is the Conservative Party Canada's brain, which is not true. But I've already been through this with Trump before, so it's quite the roller coaster. So I want to get into all the big news happening. And
this has not been the top story in Canada for 5 days. I don't know. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's like we said on the last episode. It's like an actual world leader who's bringing him up. So yeah. I understand overselling this a little bit.
Sure.
But so this is in the context of talking to Viva Fry, who's Barnes's co-host on their podcast, Viva Barnes or something. Anyway, he's from Canada. He's a lawyer from Canada.
Okay.
And so that's why some of this is relevant.
Right.
Unfortunately, Alex was mentioned because Trudeau was attacking Pierre Poilievre, who Alex had supported.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, Pierre Poilievre might not be a Trump type
against
conservative.
Against Alex? Not a fan of it?
No, it's just that he's maybe wasn't against the vaccine.
Oh, God.
And so Alex has to backpedal his support quite a bit while talking to Viva Fry and do a bunch of like, you know, hey, he's the lesser of two evils type stuff. Like,
great.
He's not as bad as Trudeau. And it's pretty funny because the whole thing is like him not even really being able to fully back the person that is being attacked for Alex supporting them.
Yeah.
It's funny.
That sucks. That sucks for Alex because Alex should be in, like, you go back to when Alex is like, I'm above the left, right. Alex should be in the, like, we should be returning to the land. Mm. Like, tear all governments down. Let's become small pockets of, like, 50 people. Like, that's where he should be, right?
Sure.
Like, he shouldn't be like, oh, let's pick the lesser of two evils for Canada's presidential election?
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing?
Right.
Canada's presidential election?
Prime minister.
You shouldn't even believe Canada has a prime minister.
Right.
You should believe that they still vote for the queen.
Well, there's an interesting reason why Alex cares about these foreign elections Canada, and he expresses it in this next clip.
Okay.
People think, why does Australia matter or why does Germany matter? Folks, it's a globalist attack on all these countries. Look at Brazil. The more or El Salvador or Argentina or wherever, the more countries where we can get populists or conservatives or nationalists in, are less countries the globalists control. This is a worldwide war, so this is like a risk game. Every country that we can intellectually awaken that can take their nation back is a major victory.
Ah, yes, risk, that notorious game of global liberation.
I was going to say, are you, if I understand correctly, are you saying that you want to conquer the world?
Well, with a loose network of dictators.
A single global ideology running everywhere on this planet.
It's like Risk. Freeing everyone up.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, I don't want to live in this world.
No. And you know what world I don't want to live in?
Which one?
Where we're listening to Viva Fry and Bobby Barnes. So we're not going to, really.
Good call.
Instead, let's spend another minute and a half listening to Alex talk about how everyone loved him in Hawaii.
Let me tell you something. If we were getting our asses kicked and losing, I'd still do this. But ladies and gentlemen, we're not losing. I should spend the whole show. In fact, I'm going to do it. I'm going to wear a secret camera, and I'm going to go to the grocery store, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to go to the shopping mall, and I'm going to walk down the street, and I'm going to let you see what happens. Sure, you should go to the grocery store, shake a few hands, almost never get yelled at. Now, I go 6, 7, 8 months till I get yelled at, and I probably shook when I was on vacation for a week and a half. No exaggeration, 1,000 hands. 1,000 hands. And they'd all say to me, I'm sorry to take up your time. I'm sorry to bother you for a picture of armor. I say, you're sorry. I love you. I'm trying to reach you people. We're in this together. And they were every color, and they were male and female and old and young, and it was beautiful.
They were every color of the rainbow.
I was on an airplane yesterday, back from Hawaii, the day before. And there were a captain coming out and the stewardesses and everybody standing up and shaking my hand. We got off the plane and everybody's like, we heard you say this on Steve Bannon a few days ago. It's real. And they were like, what? We're all awake. And they were all talking. I said, bye-bye, with a big throng of people hugging each other.
They were all hugging each other and celebrating that it's real, that everyone loves Alex.
I wonder,
this is quite a scene.
I wonder if that's how the Grinch views the story. It's like, see all of them hugging? That's because they love me. They didn't need those fucking presents. I love those presents. Those presents were for me.
They did love him at the end of the story,
I
right?
I know. That's because he changes his belief system. Imagine he stays up where he's at and just chills with all the presents. And then he's like, see, I'm taking credit for them loving each other.
I mean, honestly, here's the deal.
Yeah.
I support him wearing a camera and doing this.
Me too, 100%.
Because I'm very curious about this scene.
Absolutely.
I would like independent verification of these people all hugging each other and celebrating how great it is that everyone is so nice to Alex.
And I want the Wayans brothers to direct.
I just want to see it. If it's real, I'll accept it. Fine.
I will watch the shit out of it.
So Alex has had this undercover video that's come out.
Sure.
And he ends up interviewing two people who are associated with that group, Sound Investigations, that put it out.
That put it out.
We do not learn a whole lot about anything.
Were one of them the people taking the video?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Do we have who took the video?
One of their operatives.
Right. Do we know who that is?
The guy who runs the thing, who started it, worked for Project Veritas. So this is just sort of like another extension off of that.
Totally. It's like a subsidiary company kind of thing. Yeah,
yeah, no. But you don't get really any information that solidifies any of the things that are being said in the video.
Yeah,
there's no confirmation of, like, how did you confirm he worked for the CIA or any of this stuff. There's no indication of, like, what were your practices that involved vetting this information,
right,
other than this guy said it at a coffee shop and we just said okay.
Let me throw this out at you.
Yeah.
If you are Project Veritas or the like, you know, if you're one of these people,
right,
you can't have somebody verify your bullshit because it's bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. And people who you appreciate, they don't want that kind of verification anyways. What you do, you film another secret video with the guy who recorded the first secret video where you try and get him to, like, break, you know? Mm. You're like, oh, you guys lie all the time, don't you? And then when he's like, oh, we never lie, we're always true, then you leak that video.
Mm.
That proves that the first video is true because you leaked it.
Right, and then the person who recorded that video, you do it again.
Yes, and then you do it again, and then you realize they're lying.
Uh-huh. Plot twist.
And then the whole thing crumbles.
So anyway, I found it not that helpful.
No, I imagine so, yeah.
But this clip, where Alex is talking about how he's planning to do a Twitter space.
Oh, God, okay.
About this, I thought this was illuminating.
Okay.
I had invited Elon Musk via X to join us tomorrow for a spaces we're doing live at 1 p.m. Central on the weaponization of the FBI and CIA against the American people. I'm also invited Eric Cochran, founder of Sound Investigations, on Jack Posobiec, and a whole raft of amazing people there. He said possibly he'll get back with us. And normally when Elon says possibly, that means it's going to happen. I've already been on several shows with him, 2.5-hour interview with him a few months ago.
No, you haven't.
And we also talk to Adrian Dittman all the time, who's not Elon Musk. But I was just talking to Elon Musk via text.
Sure. Why'd you bring that up?
What is happening? Why won't anyone just be? Just be who you are.
I find that so fascinating.
Ugh.
When he's talking about the times that he's talked to Elon Musk, he brings up the guy who sounds like Elon Musk.
Yeah. And of the times that he's referencing talking directly to Elon Musk,
there's one.
Guarantee that he's counting times that he's talked to Adrian.
I think
Dittman.
He has to be.
He has to be.
And he says he's not Elon Musk, and Alex is laughing.
Yeah.
Alex really, really is certain that this is him.
He has to believe it's him.
Right.
Which makes me think it's not. The more convinced Alex is something is true, the less convinced you should be it's true.
Right, right. It's interesting.
It's a hard and fast rule.
It's interesting.
Tough, yeah.
I'm still of the mind that it's not.
It's not.
So Alex, in this next clip, he goes out to break.
Yeah.
And after this point, he's going to play the special report that he recorded about the FBI and CIA setting him up.
Yes, yeah.
So we're going to cover that. But this is where he leaves off the show.
Right.
And I think he makes a little bit of a revelation that could be a problem.
DrJonesNaturals.com. And that is a major sponsor of our operation. And I can vouch for the guy that runs it because he's my daddy. He decided 2 years ago the products we were selling in InfoWars, we might be shut down. He went and got a warehouse, set all this up. He already had a website. And he's there just, you know, boom. right there. That's what my daddy does without even asking. He's always got me. And he's a great guy. It tears my eyes seeing what they've done to my dad, folks. And you know what we talk about? They've harassed the hell out of my parents. But it's okay. They're good people. They're pissed. My mother literally told me 6 months ago, she goes, come home with your shoulder on it. She's never liked that. She said, I don't want to settle. I don't want to be nice. I'm not intimidated. Go after them. Well, okay, Mama. We're going to do what you said. So back my mother and my father and back me. Back us. All we do is deliver victory. You want war? You got it.
Mistimed the break.
By a touch.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a tiny bit.
Yep.
Thought he was going to scream for a little bit shorter than that, but it is what it is.
It is.
So, yeah, I think it might not be the best thing for Alex to be discussing how his dad set up the supplement company in response
to... Completely different, separate.
That they were going to be shut down. Because that really does seem to imply...
Well...
Some machinations.
No.
It kind of does. It doesn't look great. I feel like it's a little, as the youth say, sus.
I just appreciate, just remember, the next time you think about Alex Jones's parents, think about a weird old lady shouting, yeah, go get those Sandy Hook parents.
Come home
get
on
them.
Your shield or with
Come
it.
Come home on your shield against those enemies, the Sandy Hook families.
I wonder how much of that is accurate of his telling of his parents. But who knows? Anyway, we get to this special report.
Sure.
And I got very excited because Alex says he promises big.
Oh, boy.
We are about to break information critically vital, not just to the future of America, but the future of free peoples across the world.
Whoa.
Myself, my crew, my organization, and my family have been the victims in the last 7 years of a CIA, Justice Department, FBI, globalist attack. Now, I didn't understand the full scope of this until just the last year, but listeners and viewers have heard me break down the fact that it was a CIA-FBI coordinated operation. It's now begun to come out in just the last week. There have been congressional hearings. There have been documents. There have been operatives who've been caught in clandestine recordings. And even more is set to come out in the next week to 2 weeks.
So this, I mean, the only thing really is that there was that undercover video.
I was going to say, what else is set to come out?
I don't know. I mean, that remains to be seen.
Sure.
He said that there are people who are whistleblowers who are going to the,
sure.
you know, the government and stuff. And
which
so,
seems odd.
I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens when that happens. But for now, the only thing that has happened is that there was this undercover video of this person. And then, like... A couple of people in the House have talked some shit about it.
Sure.
That's basically the only information that that is there that is available.
Man.
So...
This undercover video stuff is getting weaker and weaker.
It never was that strong.
It was never strong. I mean, I remember, what was it? Was it like the acorn thing in the Obama voting?
That was when it was new.
Yeah. But I mean, even then,
and I think Breitbart might have still been around.
Oh, you're right. That
at that point.
Been. Yeah. But it was like that kind of like, oh, they said at least some words that sounded shady. You know, this is like literally just some guy talking shit, very obviously.
Well, but if that's what works. Then why?
Fair enough.
Why hold yourself to a higher standard?
Why work hard if you don't have to? That's
right.
A good question.
So I was excited because I heard Alex say we're going to break open all this brand new information, all this stuff. So here's where we start.
Okay.
A lot of the regular viewers and listeners of my syndicated daily show know the details of this, but we've talked about it in chunks and pieces. Now we're going to lay it all out succinctly with the new information here today. But here's the bottom line. Let's start going through the articles and start here.
Oh, God.
GOP lawmakers condemn CIA FBI attack against Alex Jones. And this is in congressional hearings and in interviews. Breaking. Republican congressmen and women call for official investigation to FBI CIA setup of Alex Jones. Representative Troy Nels. Representative Paulina Luna, Representative Mike Lee, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, and more are now calling for official hearings and criminal investigations of the information that's broken in the last week.
So Troy Nels and Anna Paulina Luna both made comments about this on Benny Johnson's show, the same show where Alex was initially a guest discussing this undercover video.
Right.
Mike Lee tweeted about this, but notably did so from his personal Twitter account, Based Mike Lee, as opposed to his official Senate account, which made me sad. Also, the Marjorie Taylor Greene, Alex shows a tweet.
I'm sorry. One of our senators has a Twitter handle named Based Mike Lee.
It appears so.
All right.
This is all fine, but this doesn't actually show anything about what Alex is alleging happened. GOP weirdos saying that there should be an investigation isn't a demonstration of any actual proof. You know, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the strongest way to start this thing off, unless the point is really about how much attention this is getting, as opposed to how strong the case is underneath it. If you're just trying to capitalize on that attention, then this approach makes total sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and it has to be, like, we've got to be in the realm of Alex is more in it for the attention now, right? Because he doesn't need, the money's not going to be his for much longer.
Well,
I mean, God willing.
Maybe.
You know, theoretically. Right. I mean, if you're him and you're his bankruptcy lawyers, you're looking at that thinking the writing's on the wall at least, right?
Yeah, but I mean, this is the game you play. And right. Why are you going to stop now?
But so like now, if you're in it for the game, though, you're in it for the attempt. You're in it to have Justin Trudeau say your name. That kind of shit, you know?
The pure sportsmanship.
Yeah, just that, like, oh, I said my name's still in the news, you know, that kind of, like, the senator still says my name.
I guess so.
You know?
I mean, obviously, the goal is still, you know, money.
Sure.
The goal is, it's all inexorably intertwined.
Right.
You can't untangle these pieces.
Yeah, it's too late now, really. Yeah.
So, like I said, the only thing really is this undercover video. Yeah. That's really the only thing that's going on. And so Alex plays a clip of it here that was edited to begin with.
Great.
And then now Alex has re-edited it.
Doubled it up.
It's important to understand that the information that broke 4 days ago, the former FBI and current CIA operative Gavin O'Blemis's revelations, that indeed the agencies were working in tandem against myself and my operation to, quote, cut our legs off and attempt to dial back or suppress the reach we have, warning the public about the globalist operations.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
Was that court case used? Was that in Seattle?
Sure was, but we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following the second biggest.
So, it's important to recognize that what Alex has done here is remix that undercover footage, which is already edited to begin with. So making it so it fits the narrative that's being pushed.
Yeah.
This is deeply unethical stuff. I'll demonstrate what I mean here. Here's a little section from that bit that Alex just played.
Okay.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So here is this from the original video.
Okay.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, some will call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially.
No.
So Alex has spliced this together to make it appear that the purported CIA...
Alex Jones!
He's affirmatively answering a question about them setting up Alex, which doesn't appear in the actual recording.
Yeah.
Here's another example that Alex does from the special report.
Was that court case used? Was that in CIA?
Sure was, but we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following the... Who's that the biggest, right?
So here's that from the original video.
Was that court case used? Was that in CIA?
Sure was.
That was the agency thing?
Well, actually it was a defamation case. Mm. So it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following the... Who's that the biggest, right?
So this was edited in order to retain the part where the guy appears to affirmatively reply to the question if the case against Alex was a CIA thing, but remove the part where he clarifies that it wasn't and it was actually a civil case. These are very intentional things that Alex is doing in order to massage this video so it fits as proof of the narrative that he's putting forth when it doesn't actually work as well as he wants it to. And that's a mark of dishonesty.
And you know how fucking wrong you have to be, where even a doctored undercover tape still says the same thing that we said over and over again, which is This is a civil trial, not a criminal trial. Mm. That is how wrong you have to be that for years, years after this shit, people are still, even in undercover videos that are deliberately designed to do the opposite of what you want. Listen, it was a civil trial, okay? It was a civil trial.
Right.
It's a civil trial. Mm. Oh, my God. He's not guilty. He's liable.
So instead of dwelling too much on the undercover video, Alex retells the story of how he was railroaded.
Sure.
And so he hears him.
It's time to write it right this time.
Yeah,
right?
I guess so. Yeah.
A few months before the election in 2016, Hillary Clinton and her opposition research decided to target then-candidate Trump by claiming that I was his brain and that I was directing his campaign, which was not true. Then they misrepresented what I had said and what I had done in the past and claimed that I'd done all these terrible things so they could then try to attach that to Trump. And now we know that huge PR firms were involved taking things I'd said out of context, exaggerating them, lying about them, and then running thousands of news articles and hundreds of national TV programs, late night comedy, PBS, CNN, ABC News, NBC. There was literally not one news channel, national or local or even international, that did not run with the story in 2016 and 2017 every day.
Every day.
I was sending people to Sandy Hook families' homes, that I was sending people to urinate on graves. Never any proof of that. Never any proof of anybody urinating on graves. And that I was doing all this somehow at the direction of Trump.
So this would be an amazing opportunity to reveal this PR firm's name or to point out all the admissions of them being behind the Sandy Hook case. Alex is prepared. This is supposed to be a revealing special report, so you'd expect that information to be here, especially when he's talking about the PR firms. Instead, as he's talking, Alex flashes up on screen a series of headlines. One is from the Washington Post on November 17th, 2016, notably after the 2016 election, with the headline, quote, "How Alex Jones, Conspiracy Theorist Extraordinaire, Got Donald Trump's Ear." This article doesn't back up any of Alex's claims. It's just an article about how Donald Trump was on Alex's show.
Yeah.
Then there's another headline from The New Yorker from June 23rd, 2016, quote, "Donald Trump and the amazing Alex Jones." These are both articles about how ridiculous it was that Trump went on InfoWars, but none of it backs up the claims Alex is making. And, like, Alex even said that he and Trump have, like, a psychic meld of some sort. So, like, he's the one who was saying
on
that kind
air.
Of shit.
On air.
So far, he's proved that two outlets ran op-eds about how Trump went on his show. That is what he's shown with these pieces of evidence. When Alex is talking about this mysterious PR firm, he flashes up three different memes about Operation Mockingbird, which is fun, but it isn't proof of anything that he's saying. One of the memes includes a picture seemingly taken from the church committee hearings with Senators Church and Graham labeled, and then sitting next to them is someone in sunglasses who's labeled, quote, "hipster senator." This is serious stuff that he's presenting here. Mm. These memes.
Mm.
Then there are short images of people talking about Alex on MSNBC, John Oliver, Fox, CNN, and Colbert. None of these instances of coverage indicate these people were accusing Alex of sending people to Sandy Hook, nor does it show that there was coverage of him every day. Most of it appears to be from about the time when he was kicked off social media and them covering that story.
Yeah.
So far, nothing has been proven, and Alex has fully convinced me that maybe he doesn't have as solid a grounding for a lot of these claims as he's making.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, it makes me think. I'm trying to figure out, put yourself in different historical periods, right? So right now, we've got our memes about fucking hipster center. Oh, my mm-hmm. God. What are we doing?
Yeah.
But, I mean, then you go back to 1750. Go back to 1750, and you got those political cartoons where it's like a donkey fucking a horse or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, which one would you prefer? Would you prefer to be the guy who's complaining about, the CIA's getting me because of this meme about the hipster senator? Or would you want to be the guy who's like, I didn't fuck that horse?
I don't know. I don't want to be either, but I don't want to be now for sure.
Okay.
I know that.
All right.
So look, these PR firms.
Yeah.
Which Alex still has not specified.
Sure.
They're making stunning admissions.
They've got an awful lot of power for being able to put hundreds of programs, and yet no name.
Right.
Interesting.
We might get a name later.
Okay.
But for now, they're making stunning admissions.
All right.
And what's amazing now is the PR firms themselves are bragging how they did this.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal.
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
So this clip is from a House Intelligence Committee hearing from 1975.
I was going to say, I'm fairly good with audio.
But Alex was 1 year old. So this is a stunning admission that they're making now.
Yeah.
So when's
Truman going to announce aliens are real?
So what else do we got? Because he just plays a bunch of clips.
Yeah, let's hear it.
These are good evidence of these admissions that these PR firms are making.
When we, the CIA, wanted to circulate disinformation on a particular issue, disinformation is not necessarily a lie. It may be a half-truth. And we would pick out a journalist. I would go do the briefing and hope that he would put the information in print.
So this is a video of an interview with a man named Frank Snepp, who was a CIA analyst from 1968 to 1976, working on matters related to North Vietnam.
That sounds right.
This is a video from 1983, when Alex was 9 years old.
Oh, boy.
So I don't know if these are stunning admissions that are being made by these PR firms now.
Here's I get it. I get what you're doing. But I don't know how you could, I'm on your team, CIA, bad. Yeah, sure. Man, sure. Mm. I don't understand how you can play these clips and then be like, see, this is all about me.
Right.
That's amazing.
It is.
That's a talent.
And it continues.
And this analysis that we made of the CIA's media operations disclosed, among other things, that they deliver through CIA couriers ready to print or ready to broadcast news, and I put that in inverted commas.
So this is a video from a show called Alternative Views from 1982. Mm-hmm. All of these clips were also featured mysteriously on an episode of Jesse Waters' Fox show from May 2nd, 2023.
Don't.
So I think Alex just corralled them all from
all
there.
On that one same fuck.
So Alex's big special report is comprised mostly of 40 or more year old clips that he took from a year old episode of Jesse Waters' show. This is bad. I mean, it's just not. It's... I don't know. I'm not convinced.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the stunning admissions of these PR firms now, in the present day.
Yeah. You know, it's you just don't see that attention to detail and the professionalism anymore.
Right.
You know, like this is just a year old thing from Jesse Waters. There's better shit to steal from, right?
No, I mean, this is pretty simple, though. I mean, there were all those clips that were there, and they all are sort of about the CIA influencing media and stuff. So,
here's what amazes me.
It's what amazes me.
Because this is the thing that you and I are never going to be able to experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got that clip and didn't go, oh, no, I have to keep working. They got excited,
right?
Because they were done,
right?
They were done with work for the day
because they watched
that
Jesse Waters show,
one show,
right?
And they were like, "Whoa, hooray!" They were not disappointed. They were not like, "Is this all there is for me?"
No, we can use this.
Nope. We'll never understand that.
So Alex comes back after this compilation of old clips and has this to say.
So, in a quick summation, here's how it works: Trump is winning in the polls. Nothing they were doing against him was working. So they go in, focus on Alex Jones, lie about what I've said and done, claim I'm attacking families of dead children, put it all over the news, and then claim that Trump is directing it, and then file lawsuits against me, get all the discovery, find no evidence of what they were claiming, and then they had judges in Austin, Texas, and in Connecticut rule that I was defaulted, so I was already guilty.
So this clip is unnotable, but it's just the standard stuff that you hear from Alex about his case.
Sure.
However, while he's saying this stuff, he popped up on screen a headline that has the outlet that it's from cropped, but it reads, quote, Berlin Rosen's comm strategy behind Sandy Hook family's victory over Alex Jones. This is from an outlet called PR Week from October 18th, 2022. And the article does say that Berlin Rosen was a PR firm that worked with the families in the Connecticut case. It doesn't do anything to prove that they're the CIA or that they're behind the suit.
Sure.
But this is clearly who Alex is talking about.
Right.
And they flash that up on screen.
Okay.
And so now we know that so it's Berlin Rosen is the name of the PR firm that Alex is accusing of being behind everything.
Okay.
Planting literally all of these stories, creating a fake Alex Jones in order for him to be persecuted.
All right.
Yep.
So they're the ones.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And this article, I mean, it does say that they worked with the families and the lawyers and stuff, but like one of the quotes from the EVP of legal affairs, Andrew Friedman, he said, quote, Jones plunged three of his companies into bankruptcy a matter of weeks before the trial was supposed to start. A lot of our work was helping reporters see that for the legal tactic that it was, his umpteenth attempt to delay facing these families in court. So it's kind of, you know, I don't know if I buy Alex's version of it based on this. And I think that if you were somebody who was suing Alex, crisis PR would be something that you would involve.
Sure, sure.
I don't know. I'm unconvinced. But also the accusation is pretty clear. Although Alex never says their name.
Well, I mean...
It just flashes this up on screen twice.
That's the thing that's weird. Why would you do that? Because clearly you're not saying their name because there's one thing that you have learned, which is that if you defame this particular group of people and those in their orbit, you're going to get fucked with, right?
I imagine.
So he's not saying their name.
I imagine there might be a hope that you keep this disconnected enough.
But
that
he just did it. He just revealed who it was.
I mean, it's pretty clear from any observer that, you know, I mean, it's quite an accusation that Alex makes against them, too.
Oh, that they have a complete control over the entirety of the United States media? And, including all of North America. Why not? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess
we should get in with them, I suppose.
I'm fine.
They could push us over the top.
I imagine.
Because they control the entirity of the United States media.
I wonder if we all just live in a Berlin Rosen world.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Alex.
Yeah.
So speaking of not saying people's names.
Okay.
Alex might have run afoul of that a tiny bit.
A few times.
Well, and especially in this next clip.
Uh-huh.
Because he is trying to prove that the FBI was behind the suit. And the way he does that is by talking about William Oldenburg, who is the FBI agent who is one of the people who sued him.
Yeah.
And so he starts...
Really going to bring him up?
Quite a bit.
Wow!
Let's look at the open evidence of the FBI being involved in my targeting from day one. First, let's look at William Oldenburg. He was already a senior FBI agent in Connecticut when Sandy Hook happened. He reportedly responded to the tragedy. William Oldenburg was already a senior agent when Sandy Hook happened, but shortly after, he was made the head FBI agent lawyer in the state of Connecticut.
In January, were you did you assume a new position?
I was put into a position they call Chief Division Counsel, which is the head attorney for that FBI division. You give legal counsel to the leadership of the division. I was put in that position temporarily, and then about a month later, I was appointed to that position.
So you were the top lawyer providing advice to the FBI in Connecticut?
In-house, yes, sir.
In-house?
Yes, sir.
The first time I ever heard of William Oldenburg was when I was sued in Connecticut for questioning Sandy Hook. And Mr. Oldenburg was actually asked on the stand, has Mr. Jones ever said your name? Has his crew ever talked about you? Have you ever been on his website? And he said no.
How many times did Jones call you?
He didn't call me, sir.
Did you ever see this photograph 289 on InfoWars?
I didn't, no, sir.
Do you know whether he ever talked about you on InfoWars?
I don't know.
And here he is admitting that he went to the Koskoff firm and that they developed this system and that they filed this lawsuit and that they came after me. And I've never even said his name, never even talked about him, didn't even know who he was. How can something like this happen in America? How can we be denied a real trial where we're innocent until proven guilty, not guilty until proven how guilty?
When's the first time you watched a video of Mr. Helbig on Mr. Jones's show?
I would be guessing, sir, I would say approximately like 2016.
Where were you when you saw that?
I was sitting in my office on the second floor at FBI New Haven.
You didn't file suit at that point in 2016?
No, at that point I couldn't get anybody to help me.
You were looking?
By then I'd pretty certain by 2016 I had contacted the Agents Association. I had been looking for people. I had been asking the U.S. Attorney's Office to help me. I had been asking the FBI New Haven to help me. So, yes, I was looking for help. And then finally, you know, the only person to ever even listen was Mr. Koskoff. He was gentleman gracious enough to listen to me, and that's why we're here.
Is there going to be a waiver?
It's no mistake that the FBI consigliere, the head legal officer for the FBI in Connecticut, went to the Koskoff law firm, which itself is heavily connected to the Democratic Party, Senator Blumenthal, and others.
I cannot believe that Alex thinks this is a good idea. I can't believe that, and I cannot believe that some lawyer that he has working for him wouldn't say, hey, this is probably really at least super poor form, and second, this might get you in a whole bunch more trouble. I think that he might now, I mean, he's definitely saying this guy's name now.
Yeah.
He's definitely accusing him of being the FBI consigliere who's connecting a conspiracy in order to persecute him and overthrow the First Amendment and all this other shit.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like defamation on its own again.
Yeah. And also weird. Weird within universe. Because if I understand correctly, if Alex is playing that last clip in particular, that means that this guy went to the deep state first, and they said no.
That's true.
His very first piece of evidence is, I tried to get the deep state to do it.
Well, I mean, that is inconvenient to the entire argument that Alex is making, but I certainly think he's on thin ice. Thin fucking ice.
I mean, see, this is, that's again, that's another one of those things where it must just be like, listen, the writing's on the wall. Why would I care? What? Yeah, sue me. Join the club. Oh, no, I've got another $1.5 billion judgment against me. Like, anybody's going to get the first $1.5 billion judgment against me.
I guess.
Like, that is kind of the interesting
part.
It's
fucking disgusting.
No, I mean, that's essentially what we're dealing with now, is once you have tried to destroy a man monetarily and failed, there is no other recourse but criminal. And if it's not criminal, he can fuck with you all he wants. And there's nothing you can do to stop him.
I guess we'll see on that front.
Yeah.
So Alex is established in the special report, and I use established loosely, that they were trying to smear Trump by associating Trump with Alex,
right.
And now they're doing it in Canada.
Okay.
They're now doing the same thing in Canada,
buddy,
with Pierre Poilievre, who is leading by massive numbers against Trudeau in the race to be the leader of Canada right now, claiming that secretly he gets talking points from me and that I'm running the Conservative Party in Canada. They're running the exact same playbook they ran in 2016 against Trump, against the Conservatives in Canada. History is repeating itself again. Take a flamboyant individual like Alex Jones, take what he said out of context, totally make stuff up, rig court trials against him, and then set the precedent to take down whoever you want, whenever you want, however you want. And I knew that the deep state was running this going back 6-7 years ago because I wasn't that important. Thousands of news articles, hundreds of national TV programs lying about me. I knew they were setting the precedent to deplatform me, to use lawfare to try to shut us down, to set the precedent for others. That was obvious. This was a level of propaganda you only see before the U.S. invades a country.
So what does Alex mean that he wasn't that important? Like, he's supposed to be God's selected warrior designed in the womb to fight the literal devil. Like, according to his own lore, Alex is supposed to be literally one of the most important people who has ever lived. And only, he's one of the few people on Earth who can see the demons that walk among us. Even if you take that stuff out of it, he was still bragging that his audience was like 1 billion people before he got sued. So by no estimation could you imagine that he would think he wasn't that important. It's ridiculous. Also, this stuff about Canada is really funny because Alex recorded this before today's show. And on today's show, he had to be all wishy-washy about Pierre Poilievre because he was talking with Viva Fry. And so he hasn't realized that he has to not really be into this.
That's the thing. For Alex, Canada shouldn't exist, right? Like, Canada itself should just not exist. Alex should just be confused and be like, I don't know what they do up there. You know, like that. Because you can pick like Hungary and Viktor Orban, because nobody's going to actually like know what's going on in Hungary. Mm-hmm. They don't get the information out to us, and most people here don't look for it. But Canada, you can just, you know, somebody from Canada, probably. And they'll be like, hey, fucking, this guy's crazy, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and you also have, you know, like Viva Fry is somebody who's Canadian, sure, who comes on the show. You don't have, like, your lawyer isn't co-hosting a show with a Hungarian lawyer.
right.
So he's going to have his own weird conservative ideas about how Pierre Poilievre isn't far right enough.
Yeah.
You're going to have your purity test there.
Yeah, because you're never going to understand. Alex will never understand Canada. Like, just a blanket. Just like,
not sure what he does understand.
Exactly. Hey, well, that's a better point, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind.
So we have one last clip from Alex's special report.
Okay.
And man, just, I mean, disgrace is a word.
That is a word.
Most people that buy this propaganda actually think I killed the kids. They don't even know it was Adam Lanza. When I do get confronted by people that buy into the HBO documentaries and the rest of it, they walk up to me and say, how dare you do what you did to those kids? I had a woman just 3 days ago walk up to me and say, how dare you urinate on their graves? And I looked at her and I said, are you crazy, lady? Did you ever see any proof of anybody urinating on a grave? And she just said, F you and your family, and walked off. But here's the good news. For every time that happens, I shake thousands of hands and get people's support. And the majority of people see through this garbage. But for those that are brainwashed, it's so incredibly sad to see that they've fallen under the control of this. So I'm going to end this with a clip of Madeleine Albright on 60 Minutes.
Okay, sure. Why not?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
What?
Just can't. Bring back the stocks. Bring them back. I'll get some tomatoes.
I mean,
we'll make a day of it.
Like, no, nobody thinks that Alex killed the kids. This is a ridiculous and offensive
stocks
version of the story for him to be telling. And I mean, honestly, when I take a step back, I look at this, and a lot of the evidence that Alex put forth was clips that he found on Jesse Waters' show from like 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So there's no real evidence of anything that he's saying. He's re-editing even the clips from the undercover video.
Yeah.
And the parting shot is about how much people love him in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I think that's really the biggest story for him, is how much people like him, and how one lady on the beach was mad at him.
It's like, what else does he have to cling to, honestly? Right?
I don't know.
What, Viva Fry is going to be his friend? No.
Well, for now.
Oh, man.
So I do think that he's on real thin ice with the William Oldenburg business. I think he's really thin ice with the Berlin Rosen business.
Jesus.
I
mean, you know those movies. I love those movies where at the end they're like, there's no reason to be mad. There's no reason to get angry at this person. Look at what life has done to them. Nothing you do could be worse than what. And I look at Alex and I truly see, like, there is no way that I could ever feel the level of displeased and miserable that he must feel.
You think that. Yeah.
But there's another part of me that says, I will still fight him. I don't care. I don't need that moral victory. I'll take the physical one also.
Okay.
If I can only have one or the other, I'm just saying, I'll take them both.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unreal.
I don't know if I take either.
Unreal. Fucking unreal, this man is talking.
It is. It
Jesus
is.
Christ.
I mean, and this was you know, I was excited to see the, you know, put together special report of all the evidence, and it's just a
Jesse Waters show.
I mean, it just kind of falls flat, and I don't know what I should have been expecting other than that. But yeah, so I guess it's all fine though, because there's other news to get preoccupied with. I guess there's also other whistleblowers.
There's only one whistleblower I want, and that is the person who was looking for stuff to prove what Alex says, and then just saw the Jesse Waters episode and called it a night. I want a whistleblower from that person to explain to me what they did for the rest of the day.
I want
a full explanation.
Here's the only whistleblower I want.
Okay.
The ref.
The ref.
Come in and shut this down.
Shut it all down.
Yeah.
Tower of Babel style. Everybody
blow
go to
the
your
whistle.
Corner. Go to your corner.
Technical
get out of here.
Foul. Fuck this.
Get out of here.
Anyway, we'll be back with another episode. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgeright.com.
Yep. We're also on Blue Sky.
We are on Blue Sky. It's Knowledge Right.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the mysterious professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.